Yeah, so happy Mother's Day to all the moms. And I'll tell you, there's not a day goes by that I don't think about and miss my mom. I'm so thankful she's with the Lord. We'll be reunited one of these days with our loved ones above. Comforting thought, I'll tell you. Well, folks, let's take our hymnals at this time. Will stand unless you're holding a baby. 323 is a hymn we really love to sing because it's all about Jesus, more about Him. And we're going to sing the first, second, and fourth of 323. Lord, give us a good day to worship and celebrate. Yeah. More about Jesus would I know, more of His grace to others show, more of His saving fullness see, more of His love who died for me, more about Jesus, more about Jesus, more of His saving fullness see, more of His love who died for me. More about Jesus would me learn, more of His holy will discern. Spirit of God, my teacher be, showing the things of Christ to me. More about Jesus, more about Jesus, more of His saving fullness see, more of His love who died for me. More about Jesus on His throne, riches in glory all His own, more of His kingdom sure increase, more of His coming Prince of Peace. More about Jesus, more about Jesus, more of His saving fullness see, more of His love who died for me. Woo-hoo! Glory to God. Please be seated, church. Yes, indeed. Love that third stanza. She wants to see Uncle Scott. That third stanza, more about Jesus in His Word, holding communion with my Lord, hearing His voice in every line, making each faithful saying mine. More about Jesus. I love that. I love that. Those old hymns of the faith, boy, I'll tell you, we're not cashing them in for this New Age garbage. This is the old hymns. I'll tell you, those folks, they were anointed. And the Lord gave them some beautiful songs for us to sing. And churches are getting away from it. Getting away from the King James Bible. Getting away from the old hymns of the faith. Getting away from old-fashioned Bible preaching, prayer meeting, and soul winning, and everything that we need to do. All right, folks, let's grab our Bibles at this time. And I'd ask you to open up to the book of Acts today. We'll go to Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4. And I had a sweet Seraphie Mother's Day message for you all prepared. And yesterday the Lord said, nope, I want you to preach over here in Acts chapter 4. I remember one time, this is going back about 20 years, I was candidating for the pastor at a Bible-believing church. And the board, I had to appear before the board, you know, and, you know, give them a testimony and they ask questions, what you believe in all. And one of the questions they asked me, they said, Pastor, if you become pastor of our church, would you be faithful in preaching the holiday messages? You know, especially Mother's Day. Our mothers need a nice, sweet, comforting message on Mother's Day. And I said, it's possible. And one of the fellows says to me, what do you mean it's possible? And I said, well, it'll depend upon what the Lord says. If the Lord wants me to preach a Mother's Day message, I will. But if he wants me to preach hellfire and brimstone on Mother's Day, I will. I was rejected. But, you know, folks, you got to be led of the Lord and not by man. And any church that doesn't understand that the pastor has to be allowed to be led by the Spirit of Christ, that church is unbiblical. They want to control the pastor. They want to tell him what to preach. They want to tell him everything, and it's just a bunch of nonsense. We need some Spirit-filled men of God that will lead the God's people as the Bible intends. Amen? Look, so in that case, my message today is in Acts chapter 4. In Acts chapter 4, we'll stand except those holding babies. And I want to preach to you a message today. I preach many times on this chapter because an incredible miracle takes place here. But I don't want to preach on the miracle. I want to preach on the aftermath of that miracle. You'll see where I'm going shortly. Look with me in Acts chapter 4. And as they spake unto the people, the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them and put them in hold unto the next day, for it was now eventide. Howbeit many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000. And it came to pass on the morrow that their rulers and elders and scribes and Annas the high priest and Caiaphas and John and Alexander and as many as were of the kindred of the high priest were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst, the apostles, they asked, by what power or by what name have ye done this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, you know, the lame man that leapt and jumped and praised God in the temple, you know, that one, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which is become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. Now when they saw the boldness, pay attention to that word. We'll see it again. When they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. And beholding the man which was healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred amongst themselves, saying, what shall we do to these men? For that indeed a notable miracle hath been done by them is manifest to all them that dwell in Jerusalem. And we cannot deny it. But that it spread no further amongst the people, let us straitly threaten them, that they speak henceforth to no man in this name. And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, not to teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them because of the people. For all men glorified God for that which was done. For the man was above 40 years old on whom this miracle of healing was showed. And being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God, which hast made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is, who by the mouth of thy servant David hast said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For of a truth, against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, were gathered together. For to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings. And grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word, by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Not as said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Beloved, I want to speak to you a message briefly today that I've entitled Holy Boldness. Holy Boldness. Father in heaven, I would thank you for the passage before us today. Lord, I'm a little excited because of the anointing yesterday you put upon me concerning this passage of Holy Writ, oh God, and what you'd have us to know from it. Lord, I'm so thankful that the Word of God is alive. It's quick, it's powerful, it's sharper than any two-edged sword, and oh God, by it, we are more than conquerors. Lord, I thank you for the power of the sword of the Spirit to conquer the enemy, to break down strongholds, and to set the captives free. Lord, I thank you that like the apostles of old, we today more than ever before need a holy boldness, a boldness that can only come from thee. Lord, I pray you bless your word as I preach today. Put me behind the cross and let Jesus Christ be magnified. And Lord, let lives be transformed by the preached word of God today. Let it penetrate deep down into our hearts and souls and make us the servants of Jesus Christ we need to be in these last days. Well, thank you ahead of time for it, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Please be seated, church. Well, I want to ask a question in opening today. The question is this. Are you a bold believer or a cowardly Christian? There is in our world today the curse of cowardly Christians. Some do not want to be seen in the office with a Bible on their desk. Others do not want to be seen in a restaurant bowing their heads before their meal to pray. They're afraid of being criticized or disliked or not fitting in. Acts 4, look at verse 13 again. In verse 13, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men,
No Bible college. They marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Now here in verse 13, the word boldness is associated with God the Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. You see that? They'd been with Jesus, and it made them bold. Well, all right, I got news for you. That if you want to be bold in the faith, you want to win souls to Jesus, you want to see God work in your life, you're going to have to spend time with Jesus. It's not going to happen by accident. Look at verse 29 and we read, "And now, Lord," he's praying, amen, in the Holy Ghost, "behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word." With all boldness, we must speak the word, brethren. I'm here to tell you today that God is looking for a few good men and women too. Ones that will witness for Jesus Christ and boldly proclaim the gospel unashamedly. Amen? We're living in the last days of the last days. And it's high time, church, to awake out of our sleep and serve Him like we've never done before. Listen now, in verse 29, notice in verse 29. He's praying to Lord the Father. Here in verse 29, the word boldness, as in verse 13, was associated with the Lord Jesus. Here in this passage, verse 29, the word boldness is associated directly with God the Father. But look at verse 31. In 31, "And when they had prayed, the place was shaken, where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And they spake the word of God with boldness." Boldness. Here in verse 31, we see that the word boldness is associated with God the Holy Spirit. Are you getting the picture, beloved? We've got the Trinity involved in our boldness as servants of the Lord. We need the Father. We need the Son. We need the Holy Spirit. What is boldness, though? What is it? Boldness is not arrogance, not at all. Boldness is not being rude or crude or being brazen. Boldness is not getting in someone's face and telling them off. Boldness is not presumption. We are to be gentle, apt to teach, and in nothing giving offense. Boldness is having the courage to stand for the Lord Jesus Christ in the face of opposition. That's what boldness is. That's what they had. That's what we need. Let me repeat that. Holy boldness is having the courage to stand in for the Lord Jesus Christ in the face of opposition. Now the context for Acts chapter 4 is the healing of the lame man in the temple. You remember that? The gate called Beautiful. You find it in Acts chapter 3 in verse number 6. Where the lame man was healed. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." Peter had a boldness there. And he wasn't ashamed to mention the name that could make him walk. The name of Jesus Christ. Now, of course we see that in Acts chapter 3, this miracle of healing took place. Acts chapter 4 is the aftermath of this miracle that I want to call your attention to today. But notice, the Pharisees and Sadducees who hated Jesus could not deny this miracle, but they hoped to contain it, contain the damage, you know, the collateral damage, if you will. And they hoped to contain it by commanding the apostles not to preach anymore. In Jesus' name, they saw the effect it had upon the people. But the apostles refused to stop preaching Jesus Christ, of course, in Acts chapter 4. Look at verse 9. In Acts chapter 4, verse 9. "If we be this day examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all, and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified," I like that, I love that. He puts a jab in there. "You guys nailed him to the cross." Yeah, when you yelled, "Crucify him." "Whom God raised from the dead," by the way, he didn't stay dead. "Even by him doth this man stand before you whole. This is the stone," Psalm 118, prophetic, "which the was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name given under heaven amongst men whereby we must be saved. Now, folks, listen carefully to what I'm about to say. Who is speaking in verse 9, 10, 11, 12, 13? That's Peter. Simon Peter, who cowardly denied knowing Jesus Christ at his mock trial, is now boldly proclaiming his name. You see that? Something has happened to Peter. Something dramatically has changed his life, his outlook. He now has no fear of man whatsoever. He welcomes the persecution, right? In direct opposition to his preaching, he says, it's Jesus whom you crucified that worked this miracle of healing. Now, in today's world, beloved, we are called arrogant, bigoted, narrow-minded. Amen, amen, amen. When we proclaim that salvation is found only through Jesus Christ, we're called haters. We're called evil. We're called unlearned, ignorant. We're called ignorant, as were the apostles. Now, whatever they may call us, they ought also to call us Bible-believing Christians. Amen? Because that's one label we don't shrink from. We are Bible-believing Christians. I'm so thankful. And verse 12 says, neither is there salvation in any other. That's our message. Jesus Christ. Amen? Now, the basis of our boldness, listen, I'm still in my introduction here. The basis of our boldness is linked directly to the Holy Trinity. And my message today will show you three ways to be a bold believer rather than a cowardly Christian intimidated by Satan. Look at Philippians chapter 1. Hold your place. We're coming right back to Acts chapter 4. But flip over real quick to the book of Philippians. Where is Paul in the book of Philippians? Oh yeah, he's incarcerated again under Nero. He's in prison. For why? Preaching the gospel. Look at it. Acts chapter 1, verse 28. Paul in prison says to his followers, and in nothing terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an evident token of perdition, but to you of salvation and that of God. Paul says, dearly beloved brethren, don't you be terrified by those adversaries, those enemies in your path. You stand up boldly in the name of Jesus Christ. Paul's thinking, what's the worst they can do to you? Martyr you? Oh, God forbid they threaten me with heaven. Go ahead, boys. Light the match. I mean, ring up the noose. I'm going to heaven. It's a great day to go to heaven. Paul says, don't be terrified. Don't be afraid. Don't be fearful. Have a holy boldness. All right, church. Now, there are three ways, as I said, that I want to share with you that you and I can be empowered supernaturally to be bold believers. That we need to be in these evil last days. The first one is this. In order for you and I to have a holy boldness, first, we need to keep company with God the Son daily. Back to our text in Acts chapter 4. Look with me at verse 13. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled. You know what, folks? Time out. That world out there ought to marvel and scratch their heads when they see you. They ought to say, what in the world does that gal, that guy have? It's something special, man. They've got a joy in their walk, a peace in their heart. There's something different about it. They marveled. And they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. They had been with Jesus. Folks, listen to me. First point is that if we're going to have that holy boldness, we need to keep company with God the Son daily. We need to spend time at His feet. We need to spend time worshiping. We need to spend time in prayer in His name. And we will have that boldness. Folks, let me make a statement. It is impossible for you and I to walk in the presence of Jesus Christ and be a coward. It's not possible. If you are walking in the power and spirit of Jesus Christ, in his presence going with you and before you, plowing the way, you can't fear anything but God. Listen now. It's because there's no fear in Jesus Christ and no fear in those that cleave to him. I guarantee, I want to make you a guarantee. You walk with Jesus, you spend time daily with Jesus, you will have a boldness that people will notice. Listen now, it was by Jesus' name and his presence that the lame man was healed in chapter 3. Look at chapter 4, verse 10. Be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him. Notice that Peter says, not by me, not by John, not by James. By him doth this man stand here before you whole. He's saying when we went to temple, we went to worship God, this lame guy outside was begging alms. And he says it was Jesus Christ who was with us who raised him up and made him to walk and leap and praise God. It was Jesus, not me. Here's something we need to learn, beloved. When God does something through your life, don't you dare take credit. Don't you dare glory in what you did and what you accomplished. Because without him, hello, we can do nothing. It's all due to his amazing grace and power that anything gets done. Something else, though. Make certain that Jesus Christ is real to you. Beloved, Jesus Christ is here. He's here in our midst today. You know that. Go to Matthew chapter 18. Look at this. Hold your place in Acts again. Flip over quickly to Matthew chapter 18. And look with me at verse number 20. Words in red from a man who never lied. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Jesus says, when you gather together in my name, I am with you. I am present. Beloved, do you believe today that Jesus Christ is here in this church, sitting with us, worshiping with us, supping with us? Because he is. He said so right there. I'm so thankful for his presence. And folks, listen now. This is truly the reason why we should rejoice and sing and worship. Because he has not left us alone. He is here with us always, even unto the end of the world. Amen? Holy boldness comes from knowing that Jesus Christ our Lord is with you. He's with us. Think with me. Church, the apostles were uneducated. They were unlearned. They had no formal education, but they had been with Jesus, and that was all they needed. I'm not saying don't go to Bible college, young guys, that you're called to preach. You go to Bible college. The best thing I did was to go to Bible college. It lays a skeleton, a foundation for you to build upon for your ministry. Very important. But now they fear nothing. Folks, they feared nothing. Little Susie, I heard the story. Little Susie was just 7 years old. As she walked home in the darkness, she asked her father, who was holding her hand, if he was afraid. And when her father said, "No, I'm not afraid," little Susie said, "Well, Papa, if you're not afraid, then I'm not afraid either." Church, our God is never afraid, and neither should we be. Listen, he's with us. We need not fear. We can be bold as the apostles were. So first of all, if we're going to have this holy boldness that Peter and James and John had, we need to keep company with the Son of God daily. But secondly, today, if we're going to have holy boldness, brethren, we'll have to have confidence in God the Father unceasingly. Look at Acts chapter 4 again. Drop down with me to verse 24. Watch this. And when they had heard that, the apostles, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, "Lord, thou art God." Now, Which part of the Trinity are they speaking to here? In verse 24? It's the Father. That's right, Miriam. It's the Father. They said, Lord, thou art God. And which has, because notice, it says in verse 24, they lifted up their voice to God, the Father, which has made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is, who, by the mouth of thy servant David, has said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? You can't beat my son. The kings of the earth stood up, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. Yes, 2,000 years ago, they were gathered together. They were gathered together with against the Lord. And it's coming a day very shortly where they will once again be gathered together against the Lord Jesus Christ. But he will be riding a white horse, and he will open his mouth and destroy them all. 27. For of a truth against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together against him. 28. For to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. It was all part of God's plan. 29. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word. Here we have a second mention of boldness, and the context is God the Father granting it. You see that? First God the Son gave it to him. Now God the Father is bestowing great boldness. Now, notice here, beloved, that the apostles were commanded not to preach anymore in the name of Jesus. Yet, they asked God the Father for more boldness to do just that. I love it. Folks, when we have a proper perspective, we see God our Father for who he really is, then we will have a holy boldness. Nothing will stop you. The person who can kneel before God can stand before anyone else. There is one fear, a holy fear of God that removes all other fears. The apostles had confidence in God as the creator of all things. Look at verse 24. And it says, thou hast made heaven, earth, the sea, and all that in them is. Hey man, if you got the creator of all things in eternity on your side, what do you have to fear? Listen now, likewise, the apostles had confidence in God the Father as the controller of all things. Look at verse 25. And he's quoting a prophecy from Psalm 2, how that the people of the earth would be against his son, his anointed Jesus Christ. And it says in verse 28, they were only doing whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined to before to be done. It says God had it all under control all the time, even when they nailed him to that cross and threw him in the sepulchre. God was in control. Do you realize today, folks, that God, your Father, is in control? You've got nothing to fear. You've got nothing to worry about because your God is in control. Do you realize, church, that God has never lost control? I like it. He's never lost control. God never says, oops, I shouldn't have done that. God has never said, oh, I'm sorry, please forgive me, I shouldn't have done that. God has never made a mistake. He's perfect in all his ways. Here's another one. The apostles had confidence in God as the conqueror of all things. Listen to me, people. Sin cannot win, and faith cannot fail. Indeed, things are out of place in this world right now. We know that. But the church is the bride, and the bride belongs to the groom. Our bridegroom is coming, and we will be there at the rapture soon, very soon. Now, we know that the king belongs on the throne, and he will be so when he comes again, shortly. Satan is the great criminal, and he belongs in the lowest dungeon of hell. And he will be, very shortly, when Jesus Christ comes again. Realize today, beloved, our problems are not too big for God. He is able to handle any problem we face in our lives. He's greater than your problem. When the apostles were afraid, they took their eyes off of man and put their eyes on God. and prayed. Go with me to Proverbs 29. Hold your place again. Yeah, I love that fact that instead of fretting and worrying, they prayed. There's the key. There's the answer. But in Proverbs 29, look with me at verse 25. Incredible verse. The fear of man bringeth a snare. That's a trap. But whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. He's saying right there, Solomon the king, the wise man, that if you are fearing man, you are in a trap. You are enslaved to that fear. But, I love the but, whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. No fear, security, safety, peace, because you're trusting in God, not fearing man. Folks, we need to take our eyes off of our problems and place them upon God. Our Father rules the heavens. So first, if we're going to have a holy boldness, we first need to spend time with God the Son daily. Secondly, if we're going to have a holy boldness, we're going to need to have confidence in God our Father unceasingly. But thirdly, and finally, most importantly, for holy boldness, we need to receive courage from God the Spirit. Look with me in Acts chapter 4 again. Hope you held your place. Look with me at verse 29. We have to have courage from God the Spirit. Verse 29. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings. And grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word, by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus. And when they had prayed, watch it, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. Woo-hoo! Folks, I'm here to tell you, indeed, church, God the Holy Spirit will give us the courage that we need to live for Him. Verse 29, with all boldness they spake the word. Now, the Greek word here, in verse 31, for servant, look at that, thy servants, verse 29, grant unto thy servants. Are you a servant of God? I hope so. Because not all Christians are. Not all Christians are servants. But look at the Greek word here for servant in verse 29 means bond slave. Listen to me now. Holy boldness is not for rebels. We will never have true boldness from the Holy Spirit of God until we surrender to the Lord Jesus Christ and allow His Spirit to control our daily lives. Did you hear what I said? We will not have holy boldness if there is unconfessed sin. We will not have boldness if there is any unsurrendered areas of our lives. We will not have boldness, brethren, until we sit Jesus Christ as Lord and Master upon the throne of our hearts. Holy boldness is not for every Christian, because every Christian will not surrender to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. So, the question today is this. Do you want this holy boldness which the apostles had? Do you want to see God work miracles through your life? In Proverbs chapter 28, should have told you to hold your place there. Here's another really powerful one. Proverbs 28, indeed. And look with me at verse number 1. You know where I'm going. The wicked flee when no man pursueth. But the righteous are bold as a lion. You know that lion is the king of beasts? A lion has no fear of any creature in the forest. You know why? He's most powerful. A lion is king. They have a boldness that's inbred in them. And when you're born of God, He gives you a boldness by His Spirit. I'm so thankful for that. Now, the apostles wanted courage, and we need courage in order to proclaim God's word, verse 29 says of Acts chapter 4. Note carefully here, though, that the apostles did not ask for safety, but for courage. Notice that? They did not ask to escape incarceration, but they prayed for courage to proclaim the word. They asked for the ability to do more of what got them into trouble in the first place. They're praying and asking God to give them more ability to do what got them arrested. And I hope somebody's listening today. Listen carefully, folks. Perhaps the curse of the 21st century, this age of Laodicea, is cowardly Christians who are not proclaiming God's word. Church, listen, it's you and I that need to extend God's hand of mercy to this sin-sick world. Look at verse 30 again. By stretching forth thine hand, Lord. They're asking God to stretch forth his hand to what? To heal. And that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus. The greatest miracle is when God stretches forth his holy hand and a soul is born again, saved eternally from sin. That's what we want. That's what we need this boldness for. God's mercy and grace were being offered to these Gentiles through the apostles. Look at chapter 5, Acts 5. Look at verse 12. Don't miss this. And by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought amongst the people. And they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. Now listen to me, folks. You are not an apostle. I've confronted these guys on Facebook almost weekly. I'm an apostle. I'm like, okay, let's just let this venomous cobra bite you and see if you live. You know, I'm like, okay, why don't you drink this bottle of arsenic? You're an apostle. It won't hurt you. Go ahead. It's strange they don't want to do that. But they're apostles. There are no apostles today. Now listen to me. These Gentiles were being reached through the hands, verse 12, of the apostles. Now, the word by in this passage actually means through. See that in verse 12? And by the hands of the apostles, that's through. Through. You know what you are? You're a conduit. You are a conduit through which Jesus Christ wants to work miracles. Miracles of salvation. Point being that Jesus Christ is doing the work through us, as he was through the apostles. And anything we do that can be explained apart from Jesus Christ has no eternal value. Look at verse 30. We read back in chapter 4. By stretching forth thine hand to do wonders and to heal, that his holy name will be exalted. See that? Look at it. That wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus, not by the apostles. So, the word name in verse 30 refers directly to the authority of Jesus Christ, his dominion over the lame man's disease, which paralysis. Church, we should never be afraid to lift the name of Jesus up. And with this holy boldness, which comes from God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit, we will be lifting Jesus higher and higher until he comes. But in closing, look with me again at Acts chapter 4. One thing I want you to see. Notice the result of having this holy boldness. 31. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken, where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And they spake the word of God with boldness. 33. And with great power. 32. Multitudes of them believed and were of one heart and one soul. And with great power. 33. Gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And great grace was upon them all. Notice the result when the apostles were filled with holy boldness. Multitudes were swept into the kingdom of heaven. And so too, church, many will come to Jesus today if we will stop being cowardly Christians and start walking in the holy boldness of the Spirit of Christ. So in order to have this boldness, we must first know the Lord Jesus Christ personally. Spend much time with him. We must have confidence in God our Father, knowing that he is near. We must walk and breathe and operate in the power of God the Holy Spirit, who indwells us. So the only thing left to do now, church, is to ask ourselves, is this holy boldness what I am truly seeking? Is this holy boldness what I truly desire to have more than anything else in my life? Do I want to be like Peter and James and John in Acts chapter 4? Or am I just content with being a nominal, cowardly, apathetic Christian who never sees God working through my life? Dearly beloved, the choice is yours today. Father in heaven, how I thank you for this passage. How I thank you, Lord, that the three verses mentioning boldness also each mention a member of the triune Godhead, clearly indicating and revealing to the world that holy boldness only comes from God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Thank you for this knowledge today, Lord. But now that we're aware of this, now that we understand this from the Bible, oh God, we're accountable and responsible for it. Lord, my prayer today is that every person in this church, every person listening to us over the airwaves, perhaps in a foreign country, perhaps they're in Africa, perhaps they're in China, perhaps they're in Australia. Father, my prayer is that every single person under the sound of my voice would surrender today to the Lordship of Jesus Christ and receive the holy boldness that only comes from thee. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen. 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 Folks, let's grab our hymnals at this time for a time of invitation. I'd ask you to open your hymnal at this time, to open your hymnal to 248. Hymn 248. And we're going to sing all four. Perhaps you need to do business with God today. The altar is open. And will stand for this time of invitation, indeed. I'm so thankful that we can come home where we belong. I've wandered far away from God. Now I'm coming home. Paths of sin too long I've trod. Lord, I'm coming home, coming home, coming home, never more to roam. Open wide thine arms of love, Lord, I'm coming home. I've wasted many precious years. Now I'm coming home. I now repent with bitterest tears. Lord, I'm coming home. Coming home, coming home. Never more to roam. Thine arms of love, Lord, I'm coming home. Look at the words on that third stanza before we sing it, beloved. I'm tired of sin and straying, Lord. Now I'm coming home. I'll trust thy love, believe thy word. Lord, I'm coming home. Is that your testimony today? If so, you need to do business with the Lord. Tired of sin and straying, Lord, now I'm coming home. I'll trust thy love, believe thy word, Lord, I'm coming home. Everybody now, coming home, coming home. Labor more to roam.
coming home on the fourth. My soul is sick, my heart is sore. Now I'm coming home. I strength renew, my hope restore. Lord, I'm coming home. Coming home, coming home. Never more to roam. Open wide thine arms of love. Lord, I'm coming home.
Woo-hoo! Yes, indeed. Glory to God. And before, what a great service today. Happy Mother's Day. And before Brother Harriman dismisses us in prayer, let me say this. I love the words of this hymn. And I'll tell you why. It's because it says on the chorus, open wide thine arms of love, Lord. I'm coming home. Here's the good news. I don't care where you've been. I don't care what you've done. You come home to Jesus Christ, and his arms of love are wide open to you. He'll give you that holy boldness. Brother Scott.
Brother Cole, I read a long time ago. There are no losers with Christ. There are no winners with the devil. It's too late if you're on this side. So pick up Christ now. I say these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Mm-hmm.